Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about email marketing demystified by Matthew Paulson. Sophie, I have to ask, what's your gut reaction when someone says email marketing is still the best tool out there?
Honestly, my first thought is, isn't email kind of old school? But Paulson makes a really strong case that it's actually the one channel where you're not at the mercy of an algorithm. It's like owning your own land versus renting space on social media.
That's the part that really got me. He talks about how your email list is an asset you actually own. You can lose your Instagram account overnight, but nobody can take your list away from you. It's a completely different kind of security.
Exactly. And that's why he's so adamant about never buying a list. If you buy emails from strangers, you're basically inviting spam complaints and hurting your sender reputation. It's not just unethical, it's strategically stupid.
Right, so instead he pushes for what he calls ethical bribes. Basically, you offer something genuinely valuable, like a PDF or a mini course, in exchange for someone's email address. And it has to be relevant to what you're selling.
Yeah, if you're selling kitchen knives, you don't offer a gardening guide. You offer a recipe ebook. That way, the people who join are already interested in your niche. They're pre-qualified, which makes your list so much more valuable.
And he says to make the sign-up form impossible to miss. Pop! UPS slide-ins dedicated landing pages. But it's not about tricking people. The value proposition has to be so clear that they're happy to sign up.
Once you have a list, the real work begins. He introduces this idea of a welcome sequence, which is the most important series of emails you'll ever send. It's your first impression, and it sets the tone for the whole relationship.
And he says, don't pitch a sale right away. The first email just delivers the lead magnet and says thanks. The second one might share your story or the company's mission. The third one gives more value or a case study. Only after that trust is built do you even think about a soft pitch.
That makes so much sense. Think about how you'd welcome a new friend into your home. You wouldn't immediately ask them for a favor. You'd offer them a drink, show them around, get to know them. Email should work the same way.
For sure. And then he gets into the actual writing. He says you should sound like you're writing to a single friend, not a massive audience. Using you and I creates intimacy, and your subject line is the gatekeeper. It has to be curious or benefit-driven, but never clickbait.
Yeah. He gives examples of subject lines that ask a question or create a knowledge gap. Like, the one thing you're doing wrong with your morning routine would make me want to open it.
Totally. And inside the email, keep paragraphs short. Use bold for emphasis and always have one clear call to action. Every email should move the reader to a specific next step.
One of the most valuable parts for me was segmentation and automation. He says not all subscribers are created equal. You should divide your list based on behavior or interests, so you can tailor your messages. Like, if someone bought a coffee maker, they get a series of emails about using it, maybe with recipes, and eventually an offer for a grinder.
That's so smart. It's like setting up a personalized journey that runs on autopilot. You're not manually sending emails every day. The system does it for you based on what people do.
And he doesn't shy away from the technical side. Deliverability is a whole science. You need a clean list, which means removing inactive subscribers regularly. And you need authentication protocols like SPF and DKM, but he says most email service providers handle that for you.
He also warns against spammy words in your subject line, like free or act now, and too many exclamation points. That's a quick ticket to the spam folder.
Right. And then he gives a framework for content. He suggests a regular value email that's pure education, no pitch. Then soft sell emails that tell a story about a product solving a problem. And finally, hard sell emails that directly ask for the sale, maybe with a limited time promo. He recommends an 80-20 ratio of value to sales.
So like 8 value emails for every 2 sales emails. That keeps people engaged and builds trust. So when you do pitch, they're more likely to listen.
Exactly. And he says consistency is key. Whether it's weekly or monthly, your audience should expect to hear from you. Sporadic emails just confuse people and make them hit unsubscribe.
And speaking of unsubscribes, he actually says they're a good thing. It's a filtration process. If someone's not interested, it's better for both parties. A smaller, engaged list is way more valuable than a huge, disinterested one.
He even says to make the unsubscribe link easy to find, that honesty actually builds goodwill with the people who stay.
That's such a refreshing take. Most people would panic about losing subscribers, but he sees it as a natural part of the process.
He also has a whole section on promotional emails. He says don't be sleazy. Start with a compelling story or a relatable problem, then introduce your product as the solution and make a clear, low-risk offer. And he warns against fake scarcity. If you say a sale ends at midnight, it has to end at midnight. Integrity is everything.
That's a good reminder. People can smell a fake sale from a mile away. And he also talks about post-purchase emails. The moment after someone buys is the perfect time to deepen the relationship. A thank you email and some tips can turn a one-time buyer into a lifelong fan.
Definitely. And beyond the tactics, he's really talking about mindset. He says to see your email list as a community, not a database. Share your personality, your failures, your behind-the-scenes stories. That vulnerability creates a connection that slick design can't replicate.
And he warns against vanity metrics. Having 100,000 subscribers is meaningless if nobody opens your emails. The real metric is revenue per email sent. Even a small list can generate serious income if it's nurtured right.
He also tackles the fear of writing. A lot of people think they're not good writers, but he says the best emails are authentic conversations, not literary masterpieces. Use voice to text, read your emails out loud, and if they sound like a robot, rewrite them. The goal is to sound like a helpful human.
And he gives a simple structure to beat writer's block. Catchy subject line, friendly greeting, compelling story or advice, clear call to action, and a warm sign-off. That makes it repeatable.
He even talks about privacy regulations like GDPR and can spam, and he sees them as opportunities. By being transparent and giving people control, you signal that you're trustworthy. He provides a checklist with things like having a physical address in your emails and getting explicit consent.
That's a smart way to look at it. Instead of seeing regulations as a burden, you see them as a way to stand out from the sketchy marketers.
Exactly.
And in the end, he emphasizes that email marketing is a long game. It's not a quick fix, but the compound effect of consistently showing up with value creates a powerful asset over time. Start small, maybe with a weekly newsletter, and track your open rates and conversions. A/B test everything.
You know, my biggest takeaway is that email marketing isn't about being technical or sleazy. It's about being genuine, generous, and consistent. You focus on serving your subscribers, and the sales will follow. It's actually a liberating way to think about it.
And if you want to explore more books like this, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. They've got over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it starts at just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Ultimately, this book reminds us that in a noisy digital world, the most direct and personal channel is still the one you own. We'll see you in the next episode.